Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and there's a lot of things growing in the world of THC and horticulture. There's so much business, we don't know what to do with it, and it takes leaders and entrepreneurs, serial entrepreneurs like Christopher Ronstadt here with me, the founder and CEO of THC Grow Systems. Welcome to the Playbook.
Thank you. I'm super happy to be here.
So horticulture is not a new industry. THC and hemp are not new as well. Maybe there's new opportunity because of the change in the regulations and the distribution laws that are in America, but you're beginning a whole new industry of horticulture, and it is stemming from the newest and latest in bandwidth and technology. What have you discovered in horticulture that can help exponentially grow not only THC and hemp, but all types of different plants and vegetables out there?
Well, David, I'm the type of person that when I dive in a rabbit hole, I go pretty deep. And when I got into horticulture during the pandemic, it became my new passion. And then I had to go back to work, and I still wanted to see how my garden was doing. Of course, my garden's indoor. I live in the city, so it's, you know, my spare bedroom. But so I put security cameras in there so I could at least see what's going on while I was gone. And then some of the equipment has its own apps, and some of them you're able to use remotely. But I noticed remote control and peace of mind is lacking. People are using security cameras and pointing them at a utility wall so they can see what's going on. And I feel like that can be consolidated and streamlined to one user-friendly app that gives growers total control and peace of mind.
And beyond security, why do you want to watch the plants or record the plants?
Well, let's just imagine you're at work one day and it's a heat wave. In fact, it's turning out to be a little hotter than you anticipated. And you know that your produce, all the hard work you put into it, is now going to waste. And your plants are wilting because they're stressed out. So, I mean, it would be really cool if you could be, you know, on vacation and just flip a switch and make sure that that AC comes on or that they're being watered and fed properly instead of having to put your trust into somebody or, you know, a family member and hope they know as much as you do to come by your house and do it for you while you're gone. It could be easier.
And when we find a problem and then seek out a solution, we don't always have the finances because it seems to be a little bit easier than it is. Things, in my opinion, always take longer and cost twice as much minimum. How have you dealt with number one, protecting your technology, but two, financing it?
That's right. And that's where I'm at right now. I got my patent approved, and I have another one in the works that gives it more capability. And now I'm ready to build. I'm not made for money. I don't have a lot of it. So now it's time to turn to investors and make money together. So that's where I'm at right now. And that's what my goal is. I want to raise money. I want to build a prototype. And then I want to go into production and take this on the road and show the whole world what's missing.
And one of the things that we are trying to do is give those opportunities to everybody to get in at the ground level, the seed level, no pun intended, and invest in entrepreneurs like you, invest in companies and technologies, innovation like yours. Where can people, and why did you choose crowdfund in order to facilitate your capitalization?
Well, you know, when you present an idea to the masses, there's a percentage of people that will be like, oh, this is a great idea. Some of those people might even be horticulturalists themselves, photographers, agriculturalists, whatever, right? They're gonna see the purpose in this, and you know, hopefully it's gonna get people to come my way and want to invest. And yeah, I just think, you know, presenting this to the masses is most important to build revenue to or money to invest.
You know, when I was young, I was part of Junior Achievement. I'm now the Chief Chancellor of Junior Achievement Worldwide. And I came up with an idea. I told my mom, I think I was 10 or 11. I said, Mom, we should have a big ice cream cone that you could put a whole sundae in, not just two scoops.
I like that.
But bananas, a big ice cream cone. Why don't they have big ice cream cones that you could do that with? And she said, well, that's a great idea. And years later, there was on South Mission Beach, the Big Olaf, which was a stand that they created the first waffle cone. And that waffle cone ended up, you know, buying the whole block of South Mission Beach. And
wow.
It was an innovation that I'm sure other people had thought of in the past, and it passed me over. Did you have any early experiences in your world being an invention, an innovator, a person that you abandoned or you thought of that somebody else may have made millions, if not billions on?
You know, it's funny you asked that question because I actually have it right here. I'm sure people may have seen this. So this was my first invention, and this was actually my rough draft that I submitted. And I submitted it in 2011. You know, it clips onto your cell phone back when cell phones only had one lens. And it allows you to see microscopically and take photos microscopically. But what it was supposed to be is two cylinders that you'd have in your pocket, and then you would click it onto your cell phone case with a 90-degree turn, and that way it's nice and snug instead of having to use a little clip. But actually, a year later, after I had abandoned it, Apple picked it up, and this is Apple's product. This is identical to my submission. There's absolutely no changes. So my point there is, if you have a good idea, believe in it and follow it through. Don't stop for nothing. Make sure that you achieve that goal. And next time, I won't let another big company take it from me.
You were on Go Fund Yourself, a superstar on the show, and we not only are elevating awareness to the entrepreneur, to the product, but also to the funding mechanism to help that mass global growth that can occur. And so you don't have to abandon it because you're running out of time and money, and giving the public a chance to support its own future by supporting great entrepreneurs that are providing great value to the community like you. But there's some other lessons in doing it that way as well, because we're always harmonizing this independent, not giving up with asking for help. You now have reached the level where you have seems to me a great balance or a harmony of innovating, protecting your ideas, but also asking for help. Who are some of the people, or what are you asking for help today for?
Thank you, David. I appreciate the nice compliment. I'm asking, my goal is to raise $1 million for the first round. You know, I'm offering a 35% ROI on $100,000 with the 2-year period. This is my first time asking for, you know, to raise money. So I'm new, and I'm learning as I go.
So we're asking everybody to participate. Where can they go to invest?
Go to thehorticulturecamera.com. Okay. That's a landing page. You're going to be able to see and learn all about what it is we're trying to do. And, you know, there's a slide deck. You can download it, and it'll give you a real good idea of what's going on here.
And how many people have these types of horticulture applications in their apartments, their homes? Because I was super surprised how big the market is.
Yeah, it's a big market. And I've had my nose to the ground since the beginning of the pandemic when I first started with the indoor horticulture thing, and it swept me away. I bought a lot of automation equipment, everything from automatic pH dosers and special lights and air scrubbers, et cetera. And doing so, I came across a few problems that I tried to solve. And I realized these problems can't be solved unless somebody creates the solution. And, you know, that's what I want to do. And real quickly, I want to touch on something that was, you know, when I went to the Go Fund Yourself show, one of the questions, I think it was you that might ask, you know, I mentioned being able to use other software like GrowDoc and Norton to enhance my platform. You know, I'll be providing a platform for software like that. However, my system will also be able to detect nutrient deficiencies on its own, because what I'm doing that's different than those softwares is my system is based on a sequence of shots. It's time lapse. So you're actually able to see these things developing frame by frame. And that's different from taking your phone in a snapshot and letting the system process it.
And, you know, the other day I was talking to my wife, and I told her that Einstein, one of my heroes, mentors, I have an Einstein collectibles collection. You would think I'd have one of the biggest sports collection, but my biggest collection is of Einstein. I told her that he was a patent clerk, and she didn't believe me. For you, what is your background that, you know, has led you? You know, do you have a doctorate in horticulture, agriculture? Did you go to Texas A&M? What's your background?
I have a I'm sorry to cut you off there. So I have a degree in ADHD. Yes. So I'm ADHD. And as a kid, I struggled academically. I just could not stay focused on things I was not interested in. I actually graduated later on in life. And as I've aged, I've learned to harness my ADHD and focus on things that I'm passionate about and see how far it can take me.
And it's taken you a long way. And we're finding that OCD, ADHD, dyslexia, some of these things that may have separated us at a young age are superpowers if applied in the right trajectory, in the right divine direction, in innovation, creativity, curiosity, all our native capabilities of ADHD, by the way, as well as the defining lesson of perseverance and the importance of following through. What is the one common denominator that you see of all entrepreneurs that are successful?
They're salesmen first. All entrepreneurs, all great entrepreneurs are salesmen first or saleswomen first. And so I actually have a day-to-day job. I sell mattresses. That's what pays my utilities and it allows me to build this business up. But yeah, so I actually had a business before and I failed it because I didn't know how to sell it. So learning to sell mattresses, it has definitely put a new tool in my belt. You know, I'd have to say sales.
Well, you're talking to the right guy because I am a student today still and a practitioner of habitual behaviors that are evolved around articulating a quantitative value to exceed what you're asking for. I'm always looking for great salespeople that have the ability to communicate value because it doesn't matter if you have a great idea or not. And I meet so many engineers that cannot articulate the value of what they have. And one of the things that stood out when you were on GoFundYourself is your ability to articulate that value and having follow through, being consistent and persistent in the pursuit of your curiosity. And the patents are approved and another pending. You'll see Christopher's technology someday everywhere. He's not giving up on this one. Christopher Ronstad, the founder and CEO at THC Grow Systems. Check him out. Go to THC. What's the website again?
TheHorticultureCamera.com.
HorticultureCamera.com. Check it out. Do your due diligence. Invest in the best. That would be Christopher. He is doing what is necessary to build a successful business from the ground up, right in his own closet. Christopher, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, David.
You're amazing. This is David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.